Welcome back to a second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhardt. Hope you enjoyed the first hour. And if you're new to the program, you should know that the second hour is strictly Chazanis. 1 hour of your favorites and my favorite cantorial music. Perhaps not always your favorites, but there's a lot of new stuff that's coming out, a lot of the great old stuff, and I love sharing it with you. I remind you that the first hour is a mixture, and if you have any requests, particular requests, you can always reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. That's cbjmusic@aol.com, and I'll try to accommodate your requests. Well, there's so much that's happening in the world of Chazanis. First of all, this coming Sunday. Well, it's a big day for football, but that's in the evening. The Cantorial Council of America is celebrating their 50th anniversary season. It's their midwinter conference at the Riverdale Jewish Center. And it will begin at 11:15. There's a buffet luncheon, and the program runs from 12 to 4. A lot of great lectures. For more information, you can contact the Bell School at 212-960-5353. That's 212-960-5353. I'm going to try and be there. Now, that's ends at 4. Give you time to get to Manhattan on the West 70th Street, right off of Central Park West, to the Spanish and Portuguese Synagogue. The Sherith Israel League, together with the American Society for Jewish Music, will be sponsoring a concert of Western Sephardic liturgical music. And that's to celebrate the legacy of the late Chazan, Abraham Lopez Cardozo, who was at the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue for many years. Coming from Jerusalem, especially for this occasion, will be Chazan Daniel Halfon, who will sing melodies from the synagogues in Amsterdam, London, New York, and Gibraltar. It's free, and it's at 4:30, and it should be over just in time for you to get back to see the football game, the great football game, if you have any interest in that. Okay, I remind you that the Shabbat Chazanut 2010 is taking place February 19th to the 21st at the Woodcliff Lake Hilton. It will feature cantors Yaakov Stark, Yanki Lemmer, and Pinchas Cohn. Shimmy Miller and his choir will be accompanying. Danny Goldar will be there in the evening. There's a concert at night, then there's karaoke. If you've never been to the Shabbat Chazanut, it's a wonderful immersion into the best of Chazanis. And I encourage you you should consider attending this. It will certainly be a memorable experience. The fact is that the program is being sponsored by people who have attended the past Shabbatot, Chazanut, I guess that's the way you would describe it, and they want to carry on the tradition. So the information is on the homepage of my website. Obviously, you're logged on to the website. In the upper right-hand corner, you see Shabbat Chazanut, February 19th to 21st, and it gives you the email to get information. Again, don't delay. I think it'll be absolutely wonderful. I know it'll be a wonderful immersion into Chazanis. And I'm pleased to present to you... this is from a new album that just came out last week. One of the featured chazanim of that weekend is Yanki Lemmer, Chazan Yanki Lemmer. And this CD, by the way, is going to be a wonderful present. If you would like to give a present to someone who loves chazanis, or you want to introduce chazanis to someone, Yanki Lemmer's new CD is the perfect gift. let's hear from the new CD. This will be Habet, Yankee Lemmer.
Habet mishamayim ureh, habet habet mishamayim ureh, ki hayin ulah vokehel. Lo tevach yivon
Magnificent, as one of our friends have said, world class, Yankee Lemmer. That's from his new album. And again, he'll be joining with Yaakov Stark and Pinchas Cohn for a wonderful Shabbat Chazanut. I encourage you to consider going. It's absolutely a wonderful immersion into Chazanus. Well, you've heard about the guest cantor, guest Chazanus Lover, the GCL, and I have this new phone set up, and I was just talking on the line with my friend Jack Grossman, and I'm so pleased that he is the guest Chazanus Lover for this week, and I did have him on the phone for a second, but let me hope that I hit the right dials right now. And let's get on to his love of Chazanus. This is Jack Grossman.
I would say that at this time, two of my favorites, Louis Waldman, better known as Label Waldman, and Jan Pierce, who I think is underrated as a real Chazan, come to mind as some favorites.
Well, those who have heard my show over the years know about 15 years ago I did a two-hour special on Label Waldman together with Label Waldman's son Harvey, and I spoke to Harvey just a couple of weeks ago, and we are going to do another special on his wonderful father, and he was underrated, to say the least.
Yes. Also, I'm sure you know, Label Waldman was also a notable actor, and a film that he did, A Cantor on Trial, had a particular song in there called, it was about a Chazan,
Prober, Shabbos. Yes.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I wanted to provide some a spectrum of how one Chazan adapted another Chazan's work, and in this particular case, Jan Pierce did that particular song, and of course did it very, very well. So it's kind of just a interesting sidelight as to how the Chazanim themselves built on each other's compositions and so on. So
right.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, I think that movie of Label Waldman playing the character of three totally different cantors is fabulous. For those who haven't seen it, it's
yes, it's called A Cantor on Trial.
Yes,
and I believe it was issued somewhere in the early 30s, probably 30 or 31.
Right, and Brandeis University did make it available to the public. So what is the selection that you've decided to have us play for Label Waldman?
Well, to just point out the spectrum of the fact that on the one end is a is Label Waldman singing a song that is very moving, profound, and very emotional, that I think every Jew can identify with as far as the suffering and what we've gone through over the centuries. A song called Sarfe Mala. It's called The Angels Called in Anguish. And to kind of juxtapose that with a song by Jan Pierce, The Cantor for Sabbath, which is a more humorous type of
a
song that has to do with a young cantor that is being auditioned for a post in a synagogue before a committee of a tailor, a blacksmith, and I guess a driver, a teamster.
Right.
And so it kind of, you know, gives a flavor to the kind of singing that it was. It was Chazonus was not always, this profound and emotional type of music and singing, but also encompassed the type of music that had a sense of humor to it.
Yes. Yes, that Chazal of Shabbos is one of my favorites. We'll get to that in a minute, but let's hear Leibel Waldman, Sarfei Mala. This is from the Asura Haruge Malchus, the Ten Martyrs. This is from the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and this is Leibel Waldman.
So Femal zu akubemuru zu toro bisus churo ote kisalem So, what if I need a lucky box?
Wow, Jack, that's quite a piece.
Yes, I think it's also interesting to note that of all the great cantors, particularly in that golden age of cantorial music, Waldman was the only American-born cantor, which I think is significant, and I think if you track it even forward to today's time, you'll probably find similar, I think great cantors coming from either Europe or overseas, and it's just an interesting phenomenon.
Yes, you're right. He was one of the few that was from the era of the greats, who was born in New York City, actually.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. And started singing when he was 9 years old.
Right. Well, of course, when it comes to Jan Pierce and his brother-in-law Richard Tucker, there are always debates from the Mavenum. I don't get involved with that debate, though. They felt that because they went into opera, they sort
right.
of gave up their right to be called a cantor. But I don't buy that because
right. And actually, Pierce was very much a committed Jew. And from what I've read, he was very particularly put on tefillin every day, and he wouldn't, under any circumstances, eat anything other than kosher food.
Uh-huh.
So I know that he did appear as a guest chazan in many, many synagogues around the country. He was never really assigned to or obtained a post in any one location.
Right.
Maybe that's what gave that impression. But mm-hmm. in fact, he was a great, great chazan, and it happened that he also was a great opera singer. But I think that's one of the reasons that I selected Jan Pierce as one of my favorites, because I think he is underrated
mm-hmm.
as a chazan,
right.
a full-fledged chazan.
Right.
And I think this song in particular, Cantor for a Sabbath, portrays his versatility in Jewish song.
Yes, it really shows the range. And in the near future, I will be playing some of his wonderful tefillos. So,
of course, Eli Eli and some of the other
yes.
ones,
yes.
Rushing Kismet Modlin. I mean,
yes.
unbelievable.
For sure. Okay, so Jack Grossman, thank you so much for being our guest Chazonist lover, and we're hearing your second. By the way, we know that it's very, very hard to say who are your favorites, your two favorites, because there are so many greats. But I'm glad you chose these two. And now let's hear Jan Pierce with Chazonist of Shabbos.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
Is gekimme se vorne na kriegte der wer hausen will na wenn na schaube we da wenn na schaube
sanen im gekimme her in der drei schönste balabatin in der städtele die drei schönste balabatin Städtele. Eine Raschneider und der zweite a Kowalschke und der dritte a Balagolschke rief sich auf der Schneider Rift sich aber der Schneider, oje wei, hat genannt. Oje genannt. Wie das Eide, mein Gitt, mit neuer Stoch und mit neisen neuer Brech. Oh, ist du Sachhausen, oh, Rift sich auf der Kowalczyk, oh je wei, oh je wei, oh je wei, oh Targedabend, oh je Targedabend, oh je Tazheife men geht, mit die Kleche zu ihr quer, und mit dem Hammer zu ihr setz. Sachhausen. Oh, bierbom, 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 mit der letzte so ihr Ziel und mit dem Beit heuer. Eis du Sachhausen.
Powerful. That really is. Reminds me of As Brent, which is also on that particular album that Jan Pierce does with such spirit and such soul. Well, I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm going to go into great detail about the history of a particular cantor that I'm going to feature for this next half hour, because I'm just so fascinated with the story of his life. And when they talk about the Wandering Jew, this epitomizes it, okay? Salomo Pinkasovich. He was born Shlomo, but he changed his name to Salomo Pinkasovich. He was born in 1886, and he died in 1951. Just a fascinating life. And the following are excerpts from a note written in 1988 by his daughter, Anna Ecker. Pinkasovich was born in a small village in Jigovka in the Podolian region of the Ukraine in 1886. His father was an itinerant Hebrew teacher. They claimed to be descendants of Rabbi Pinkas of Koretz, a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism. From earliest infancy, he loved nothing better than to sing, and at his father's death, he left home to join an itinerant cantor as soloist. He had an unusually beautiful soprano voice and soon became known as the Boy Nightingale. At the age of 15, with his voice broken, he got a scholarship at the Imperial Conservatoire of Odessa. This was an immense achievement for a Jew under Tsarist Russian rule. Let's see, that at the age of 15, so that was in 1901. At the age of 18, he got a position as cantor in Akerman, a small black seaport. He went to lodge with a relative, Rabbi Joseph Trostman, head of the local yeshiva. There he fell in love with Eugenia, the rabbi's youngest daughter, and after a whirlwind courtship of 6 weeks, they married. In 1904, they went to Vienna, where he wanted to have his voice trained for opera. Let's see, 1904, so here he was 18 years old. All the agents were delighted with his voice, but because he was short and slender, they thought he would look insignificant on the stage. So he accepted a post as chazen in a working-class district, the 20th district of Vienna. In 1911, he accepted a well-paid position as cantor of a small town of Galicia, a Polish-speaking part of the Habsburg Empire. In 1913, he was called to Czernowitz in the Bukovina region of Austria. German-speaking, modern in outlook, it was a town of some 100,000 inhabitants. By the way, just as an aside, my father was born in Bukovina, and my Uncle Ben told me that the nearest large town to their small village was Czernowitz. As a further an aside, I grew up eating mamaliga with brinza cheese. I guess, what's mamaliga? I guess it's a cornmeal mush. Somehow or other, my dad called it a kalesha. Anyway, when people ask where did I get the name Bernhout, my father was born in Bukovina, and I guess that was it's the Bukovina region of Austria. Anyway, in 1914, Pinkasovich made his first recordings. So here he was in Czernowitz. The pleasant life in Czernowitz came to an abrupt end with the declaration of war. In August 1914, Pinkasovich was interned for the duration. His family knew nothing of his whereabouts. Then a miracle happened. The governor of Upper Austria had made a tour of the prison and internment camps to see if all were being decently and humanely treated. Wow, that's interesting. No one dared say no, except Pinkasovich, who boldly stepped forward and told the governor that his voice was suffering from breathing in coal dust, as his special task was to empty coal trucks. The governor was a typical old-world Austrian aristocrat and great music lover. He at once ordered this particular internee to come to his palace in Linz and sing for him. This was an order the internee gladly obeyed. The result was immediate freedom and permission to go and live in Vienna for the duration. The family then returned to the 20th district of Vienna to live as refugees. The Austrian army had meanwhile retaken Czernowitz, and Pinkasovich was asked by a synagogue council to return and resume his duties, which he did. But this lasted for only 3 months as the Russians began their offensive and retook Czernowitz. Pinkasovich and his family became refugees again. The family went to Prague, where he then was engaged as a chazan in the Hungarian town of Gajangyos in 1916. But in 1917, the entire town was burned to the ground. No, not by enemy action, but through lack of water. He then received a post in Miskolc, not far from Budapest, which he held until 1920. He would have stayed longer, but after the collapse of the Habsburg Empire, a fascist regime gained control. The regime was violently anti-Semitic, so the family moved, get this, the family moved to Berlin in 1920. However, conditions in Germany began to deteriorate. In 1921, Pinkasovich toured England, and he was offered a post of cantor of the new synagogue in Manchester, which he accepted, and again, a fresh start for the family. An emissary from the great synagogue of Wolmarans Street, one of the finest in Johannesburg, South Africa, arrived in search of a suitable cantor, and Pinkasovich accepted that post. In 1925, he sailed for South Africa, the family following some weeks later. The money and security were good, but Pinkasovich was bored in South Africa. He decided to resign and return to Europe, where he obtained the post of cantor of the famous Alte Synagogue in Berlin. He had just returned from a highly successful tour of the U.S., where he very nearly accepted the post in Philadelphia. Much misery would have been spared him had he accepted the Philadelphia post, but he loved Europe and he loved Berlin. However, after the burning of the Reichstag, the position for Jews was made daily more and more unbearable. That was in 1932 or 33. Since he was in South Africa. Since Wiley was in Africa, he had taken out naturalization papers. He was a British Dominion subject. He gained admittance to England. There he took a post of cantor at the United Synagogue. That was in 1933. However, at the outbreak of the war in 39, he went back to South Africa. In 46, he came back to England and founded the Cantorial School at Jews College in London, a post he held until his death in December of 1951. Oh, wow. Is that a story? Is that a story? He really loved to travel, to say the least. Okay, we're going to hear four selections of Salomo Pinkasovich, and you got the story. He traveled, he moved his family, I don't know how many times, but let's hear Omer Rabbi Elazar. This is Salomo Pinkasovich.
Oh!
That was recorded in 1925. He was 39 years old at the time. Let's see, he sailed for South Africa in 1925, so it was either recorded in England or in Johannesburg. It's not clear. The next selection is Vashomru. Actually, the next three selections were recorded in 1920 when he was 34 years old. And let me just advance this to cut seven. Okay, and now this will be Vashomru. Again, it's recorded in 1920, 90 years ago. And by the way, it was interesting. His daughter mentioned that when they did those recordings, he stood in front of a large horn. And if you ever saw the way the early recordings were made, but they didn't have microphones and the like, and they stood in front of a horn that narrowed down to a little piece of mica or whatever. One day we'll talk about how they made these early recordings. But in the meantime, let's get to Vashomru, Shlomo Pinkasovich. Figure out where he was when this was recorded. It said that he was in a small town near Budapest in the early part of 1920, and then during 1920 he moved to Berlin. So it was recorded either in Budapest or in Berlin, I guess. Never really know about that. Okay, let's go to Hashem Moloch. This is Salomo, or he was Shlomo, but Salomo Pinkasovich. As you can tell, those were rather old recordings, to say the least. We'll now hear Elokeinu Rosei V'Imnuchosenu. This is the fourth selection of Shlomo Pinkasovich.
Oh.
Shlomo Pinkasovich. Okay, again, a lot's happening in Chazanis this coming Sunday. Is it this Sunday already? The Cantorial Council of America will be having its midwinter conference at the Riverdale Jewish Center. It's February 7th. It's running from 12 to 4. The registration is 11:15. There's a buffet luncheon, and there's a great lineup. Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt and Cantor Leon Kahn will be addressing the group, and then there's some great presentations by various members of the staff and the faculty of the Bell School and other musical schools. That's in the morning. And now in the afternoon at 4:30, you can go to the Portuguese synagogue, Spanish and Portuguese synagogue on West 70th Street, New York City. There's going to be a wonderful Sephardic liturgical music concert, and there's going to be a special a chazan who's flying in from Jerusalem strictly for this presentation. He's going to sing melodies from the synagogues of Amsterdam, London, New York, and Gibraltar. Don't forget the Shabbat Chazanut 2010. This is at the Woodcliffe Lake Hilton on February 19th to the 21st. And once again, all the information is in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage of my website. So you must let people know of your interest. The rooms are filling up rather quickly. It promises to be a wonderful, wonderful event. And Jules, if you're listening, Julian, this Shabbos I'll be in Highland Park. When I was a member at the Highland Park Conservative Temple, I met Sandor Gross, who was a great friend, great lover of Chazonis. When he passed away, his son and the family are doing a Shabbos Shabbaton in honor of his memory. And my friend Henry Rosenblum, who is the head of the Cantorial Institute at the Jewish Theological Seminary, will be there Friday night and Saturday, and I will be there joining in on the commemoration memory of Sandor Gross. Okay, I'm going to run a little bit over. I had a request. Wow, it is getting late. No, the next selection is 6 minutes, and I have to decide whether or not to play it. And I think I'm not going to. I think I'm not going to play it. What am I going to do? I'm going to figure out to go back to disc number one, and I will go off with Sheyibona Beis Hamikdash. And next week, I'm going to be starting another marathon. I received a request from someone who wanted to hear various versions of the Kiddush. And I was going to start this evening with Moshe Lasurkis, one of my favorites, and then go through Kosovitsky and others and share them with you. So we'll start next week on that. And I do remind you, by the way, that if you want to be a guest Chazonist lover, a GCL, which means that I will call you and we will schmooze a little bit and you'll tell me which are your two favorite. And it's a hard thing to do, to pick out your two favorite selections, but they can be among your two favorite selections, and we'll share them with the audience. And I think it's something that is of interest, certainly of interest to me, to hear the broad range of taste. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? There's a lot of Mevinim out there, and I don't argue. I don't argue with anyone. So if you want to be a guest Chazonist lover, you can contact me at cbjmusic@aol.com. It's on the website, but cbjmusic@aol.com, and we'll schedule the program for you to share your favorites. So, with all of that, I guess this is going to work. Yes. There it is. The great Moshe Kusevitzky with Sheyibona Beis HaMikdash. Thanks for joining with me, and hope to have you with me again next week. A lot happening for the big football day next Sunday, but I'll see you. I'll see you. Shalom. Yeah.